To see you all this morning. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the book of Nehemiah. We're in Nehemiah chapter 6 this morning. If you're using a pew Bible, I believe it's page 402. Nehemiah 6, we'll start at verse 15. After this week, we'll take a little break from Nehemiah as Easter season approaches, Holy Week. Next Sunday will be Palm Sunday, and then we'll have Monday, Thursday after that, and our Easter celebration. So for a couple weeks, we'll take a break from Nehemiah. We'll focus on the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ the next couple weeks, and then we'll jump back into it. So I pray that you've been blessed thus far through this book. It's a book where the events occurred in 445 BC, not too long ago, but we see how God still speaks to us today through these events. The people of Jerusalem have come back from exiles. They were about 800 miles away for 70 years. God brought them back and used Nehemiah and the people to rebuild the walls around the city. And we've seen all the different hardships, obstacles, and things that they had to overcome. Where we end up this morning is the wall was built. It actually got done. And so hopefully this morning, as we go through our text this morning, we're going to focus on encouragement. That what God starts in our lives, he finishes. And so we're going to pray, and then we'll walk through this text this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time to worship. Lord, I'm reminded of the words of a singer said, Lord, I pray that we would live just like we sing. Lord, it's beautiful to lift worship up to you. It's a joy. And Lord, I pray that our lives would be a song. Just a never thanksgiving to you. For everything that you've done and accomplished in our lives, it's tremendous. And so Lord, forgive us when we've failed to do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you cover us with your righteousness. That your precious blood washes away all our failings. And you call us beloved. You call us your bride. You love us. And so, Lord, we pray as we go through this text this morning, we would be encouraged once again of your awesomeness. We focused on the call to the need to walk in the fear of the Lord. We focused on learning that we need to learn to be discerning and depend upon you. And this morning I pray as we go through this, we would be encouraged of how you work in our lives. To the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would teach us and help us to see you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So encouragement. If you look it up, encouragement, it means to stimulate, it means to fortify, to invigorate, to hearten, to lift someone up with their soul. If you don't know how to define encouragement, it's okay because you know what it is and you know what it feels like. I ask you a question this morning. What if you lived out your whole life without encouragement? Especially concerning our walk with our God, we experience all kinds of discouragement all around us and within us. As I said this morning in Sunday school, you know, with the sins that I am aware of, sometimes I disgust myself, let alone the ones that I'm not aware of, and you can become very discouraged. What if we lived out our lives without any encouragement? I have an article from a Got Questions website, and they write, "Without encouragement, hardships become meaningless, and our will to go on diminishes." Encouragement makes it easier to live in a fallen world in a holy way. Encouragement makes it easier to love Jesus as Jesus loved. Encouragement gives hope. Encouragement helps us through the times of discipline and testing. Encouragement nurtures patience and kindness. Encouragement makes it easier to sacrifice our own desires for the advancement of God's kingdom. They continue to write, without encouragement, life would soon seem pointless. without encouragement, we can become overwhelmed by the real pains of our lives. Without encouragement, we would feel unloved. So the Bible tells us, encourage one another. Remind each other of the truth that God loves you, that God equips you, that He treasures you, and the struggles that you go through will be worth it. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, therefore encourage one another, build each other up. So this morning from our passage in Nehemiah, I hope to encourage you in the Lord. As you strive to put sin to death in your life, and as you strive to rebuild from the ruins of sin in your life, be encouraged that God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. That God, who gave you the gift of faith, what He started in your soul, He will bring it to completion. You who have set your heart on following Christ, the journey can be hard and long and tiresome at times. But be encouraged. The God who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. There are four ways we can be encouraged this morning from this text, and the first one is to remember that nothing is impossible with our God. You can be encouraged because nothing is impossible with our God. Let's start walking through this text. Look at Nehemiah 6, verse 15. It says, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And when our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. If you have your own Bible, you might want to underline that. It's a wonderful passage that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. This text reminds us that nothing is impossible with God. A wall that secured the city of Jerusalem that laid in ruins and rubble for decades and decades and decades was rebuilt and restored in 52 days. 52 days, that's less than 2 months. That is no small task. That's not just putting a roof on a building that we've been waiting for almost a year now. They built a whole wall around a whole city in 52 days. Not a small task, and everyone in the city and all the people of the nations around them recognized this was no small task. This is something that mankind could not do, but it was accomplished with the help of God. Throughout the book of Nehemiah, God was orchestrating everything that needed to take place for the wall to go up. Hamilton, he writes back in 2 verse 8, it said that the good hand of God was upon Nehemiah. In 2:12, it said that God had put it into Nehemiah's heart to do this for Jerusalem. In 2:20, he told the people of God of heaven that he would make them prosper. In 4:15, he said that God had frustrated the plans of the enemy. And in 4:20, he told the people God would fight for them. It's God, it's God, it's God, it's God. God opened the heart of King Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, to let Nehemiah even to go to Jerusalem, if you recall. And then this king gave him everything necessary. He gave him the work permits, the authority, and all the supplies that he could need to build this wall. Everyone in the city labored. They came together. Everyone saw the need, got involved. And in the midst of mockery, in the midst of threats, in the midst of the infightings within the people, the wall went up. And everyone knew how and why. It was God. When it seemed like there'd be no way for this to happen, when it seemed like the whole notion would end in disaster, the walls went up. Nothing is impossible with God. And in terms of your salvation and in terms of your unique calls in life that God might call you to, remember what He starts, He also finishes. Nothing is impossible with God. When I say unique calls in your life, I mean when God calls you to a unique ministry designed for yourself, that He has something in mind for you to do, what He starts, He will finish. Nehemiah was uniquely called to lead the building of this wall. God readied him. God equipped him. God gave him all the resources that he needed, and he saw it through to the end. And the same with you. If God uniquely calls you to a ministry, don't fret. Don't think of the impossibilities. Let God lead you and be encouraged with the truth. Nothing is impossible with God. He will supply every need. Chuck Swindoll writes, he says, "We are faced with a series of great opportunities, but they're brilliantly disguised as impossible situations." We are faced with a series of great opportunities, but we get afraid, we get scared, and we think they're impossible. And what God is saying to us this morning is nothing is impossible. If God is uniquely calling you to a ministry of service, and in terms of your salvation, you who are saved, you who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, know that you are justified. And you're working on this thing called sanctification, and you wish you could be done with certain sins in your life like anger, lust, lack of patience, lack of compassion, whatever it might be, whatever you wrestle with. God isn't done with you yet. And what he starts, he promises to finish. One day you will be glorified. There will be a day, either when Christ returns or you meet him in glory, when you will be done with sin. What you are now positionally by faith, you are considered holy because of the righteousness of Christ applied to your account. Righteousness of Christ going over you like a coat, like a robe of righteousness that just covers you. You are holy now in God's sight because of Christ's righteousness. You're declared just. One day you'll actually be holy. He's rooting out things in your heart and your mind that ought not to be there. And you will be holy, actually. So keep fighting. Keep pressing on in your walk of holiness. It is a spiritual battle. Put on the full armor of God. Put his identity on you. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of his righteousness. Put on the belt of his truth. And remember the shoes of the gospel. I'm a forgiven son and daughter of the King. Nothing can separate me from the love of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Take this through your battle. Rely on him. Rely on him. Rely on him. Nothing is impossible with God. C.S. Lewis writes, "Relying on God has to start every day." As some of the struggle with our spiritual walk, we rely too much on our own strength, on our own knowledge, that we're already wiser than the people around us, that we're already wiser than the schemes of Satan around us and his minions. We need to depend on God every day and be encouraged. Nothing is impossible with God. The next thing we see through this text is that we can be encouraged because God is wiser than our enemy. God is wiser than our enemy. Let's continue in verse 17. After the people see the walls going up and they're fearful because God was in the midst of it, it says this: "Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Era, and his son Jehohanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, his wife. Also they spoke of the good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to make me afraid." If you remember from all the other chapters, Tobiah is an enemy. He's been mocking, he's been threatening, doing everything he can to stop this wall project. The whole time that the building project is going on, what these verses are telling us is treasonous actions are occurring from inside the city walls. Tobiah was a non-Jew person. He wasn't Jewish. And he married somebody who was from within the side of the city. And that was a big no-no, not because of race, but because they worshiped two different gods. And it's a warning for us now. It's another sermon that I'll do later on in Nehemiah. But hear this: if you are a follower of Christ, I'm going to look at you young people. I'm going to wait till you look at me. And you out there who are single as well, if you are a follower of Christ, God does not want you to date or marry someone who doesn't love Christ. It makes no sense. If you love Christ, that you would want to date or marry someone who hates the things of Christ. He tells that to his people. It's not a race thing. It's what's primary, what's important in your life. And here we see some of the destruction, the disaster, and the consequences. Tobiah married a Jewish lady, and there's some kind of oath between the people of the city and Tobiah, and there's treasonous action going on where Tobiah wants to stop the things of God. They're sending letters to Tobiah back and forth telling Nehemiah, Tobiah is a pretty good guy. All the while, Tobiah's been mocking and threatening the whole thing. Now, he's a pretty good guy. He's a pretty good guy. In the meantime, whatever Nehemiah's talking about and discussing with the plans, they're letting Tobiah know is this treasonous activity going on. He would send letters to Nehemiah to make him afraid, it says. Treasonous actions were occurring. The enemy did everything they could try to do to stop this wall from being built. But God was wiser. God was wiser, and the wall went up anyways. In recent history, ISIS was doing everything it could to snuff out the church in the Middle East, and if they would have their way, they would snuff out the churches all over the world. We don't hear much about them anymore, do you? God is wiser than our enemies. In Luke 22:31, we looked at this in Sunday school this morning. Peter said he would never deny Jesus. And Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying for you. But I'm praying for you. God is wiser than our enemy. He says, Peter, when you fall, I will restore you. You go back and take care of my brothers. Judas, he thought he was doing a good thing by betraying Jesus. Tried to stop this thing that God was trying to do. But God is wiser than our enemies. And as you fight against sin, as you fight against the temptations of the world, remember, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you believe you have power to overcome sin and temptation in your life? Now we know it runs deep, and there's so much that we're not aware of, but you who are born again, who have the Spirit of God, you can grow in your sanctification. You can grow and overcome temptations in your life. You won't do it perfectly in this lifetime, but you will go and grow and grow and overcome things. It says when the enemy is winning and when things look dark, Tori Ten Boom says, let the promises of God shine forth. So when you're faced with temptations and struggles, say, I am a new creation in Christ, that I am born again, that I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm a slave to righteousness. Believe that. Get that in your heart and your mind and live it out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, but remember that the temptations that come into your life, they're no different from the others that people experience. God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you cannot stand up against it. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out of it. And so you don't want to give in to it. There is a way. God is wiser than our enemies. Be encouraged as you rebuild from the ruins of your life and the sin in your life. God is wiser than your enemy. He will give you ways out of temptations. You just got to look for it. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. The third thing we see in here is we can be encouraged because God provides us faithful leaders. God provides us faithful leaders. We're not in this journey alone. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. Now when the wall had been built, I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed. I gave my brother Hananiah and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem, for he was more faithful and God-fearing man than many. That'd be a great thing on your resume. More faithful, more God-fearing than man, many men. And then he says in verse 3, I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun is hot. And when they are still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts and some in front of their homes. Now that the wall is up, Nehemiah appoints leaders to govern and protect his people. The people aren't left to their own. He puts Hanani and Hananiah in charge over the city because they were faithful, God-fearing men. And not only them, guards as well to protect the cities. And you need to remember that leaders in your church are good and gracious gifts from God. Faithful and God-fearing leaders are a blessing to God's people. We aren't left to walk this journey of faith alone. God has given his church faithful and God-fearing leaders to shepherd and encourage his people. In our church, we have elders and deacons, faithful and God-fearing men, not sinless, but faithful and God-fearing men that try to shepherd your souls. Go to them. Go to them. Be encouraged by them. Seek them for their prayers. Seek their wisdom. And I pray that God is calling many more of you men in these capacities. You can be such a blessing and encouragement to the church and the women's ministry. Women mentoring women, women praying for each other, women holding each other account, encouraging one another. Faithful and God-fearing leaders are a blessing to our congregation. Not only do we have leaders within the church, you can get on online. You can look up things from Ligonier Ministries, from Desiring God Ministries, from the Gospel Coalition. There's so much out there to equip and encourage you in your faith. A man in the book of Acts, his name was Joseph, but he had a nickname, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. That's a nickname to have. I had Huckleberry. Not a very good nickname. My one brother would call me Huckleberry. I would have preferred Barnabas. It sounds cool. But it means son of encouragement. And he was such a leader in the church when there was just wrestlings and confusion going on with Paul. Was he really for us, or did he want to kill us? He was so intricate in just helping the church understand that Paul's a good guy. And then when Mark had failed early on in the book of Acts, he was there to help bring Mark back. Encouragement. You are an instrument of encouragement to each other. Yes, we have leaders, but we are called to encourage one another. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you're doing. And then down in verse 14, he says, encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak, be patient with them all. Encouragers are a blessing. The last thing we see in here, we can be encouraged because God takes people like us, sinful outcasts, and redeems them to be his holy children. Look at verse 5 of chapter 7. It says, then my God put into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the people to enroll by genealogy. And I found the book of the genealogy of those who came up first. And I found written in it, these were the people of the province who came out of the captivity of those exiles whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried into exile. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town. And we have this beautiful long list of people and their families, and they take note of them. And they all come back into the city. God put in Nehemiah's heart to enroll everybody, to take account of them by genealogy. In this list, you'll look for it if you want to in Ezra chapter 2 as well. But I love what it says in verse 6. It says, these were the people who were brought out of the captivity of the exile. If you remember, they were exiled for a specific reason. Their rejection of God and the ways of God. They were exiled out of Israel because of their sin and of their wickedness. And here God puts his spirit in them and brings them back home. God takes the prodigals and brings them back and calls them his children. God loves us not because we are great and have everything cleaned up in our lives, but he takes broken and ruined people to redeem, and he redeems them and transforms them. That's what God does. He takes outcasts like me, exiles like me, and calls us children. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 6:9. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you." That's us. In some sense, we fall into this category. In our fallen state, we are lost, we are outcast, we are exiled, and left to our own strength, left to our own abilities, we are lost. But then he says, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." That's what he does. He knows us in our worst. And he says, "I'll wash you. I will make you clean. I'll put my love around you. And I'll bring you into my home in my city. And make you beautiful." That's our God. And that is tremendous news. That's good news to encourage you. God takes people like us, sinful outcasts, and redeems us. Be his children. I pray you are one today. I hope and pray that you see your fallenness. You see that in your own self there is no way to atone for the thoughts, words, and deeds you did or did not do that could ever secure your inheritance to heaven. But then you look at that cross that we have up here every week, and you see the sacrificed Lamb of God on your behalf who would come to wash you with his blood, to atone and take the penalty of every single sin. I pray that you see that and you embrace it. And you see Jesus on earth saying, "It is finished. Father, forgive them." And he welcomes you as he says to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So be encouraged. Be encouraged that God who begins a good work in you will bring it to completion. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. Whether it's a unique call or your ordinary salvation, he will bring it to completion. Remember, as you fight against sin, that God is wiser than your enemy. That he's provided you faithful leaders you can go to seek guidance, wisdom, and prayer. And always remember the gospel. God takes outcasts like me and like you. It says, "Come on in. You're my children. I will wash you. I make you clean, and you are mine." Receive him today. Receive him today and be encouraged. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the lives of Nehemiah and the people. As we use it to look as you use them in their unique call to accomplish things for your plan of redemption, to rebuild the city wall, that the temple would be rebuilt and the city would be renewed, that one day Jesus would show up and ride in as a king on a donkey, that he would come to atone for our sins, the great king who lays down his life for his people. Lord, encourage us to encourage one another in the gospel. As we fight against sin and temptation, that the Holy Spirit is in us. We do have power. We are not alone. We hold on to the gospel that we're united to the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And we feed upon him to change us. So Lord, we pray that you would bless your people, that they would be a blessing to the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.